Episode 166, we're just hanging out on a Friday night, opening some random tackle, talking bass fishing, and just having a good time. So enjoy the episode.
This week, the Hella Bass Bass Fishing Podcast is brought to you by Arsenal Fishing. Arsenal Fishing offers premium custom-made performance apparel and tackle. Arsenal delivers a wide variety of custom-designed baits, accessories, and tools, along with unique utilitarian apparel for all outdoor enthusiasts. As part of their support, you can use code HELLABASS15 to save 15% on all purchases at arsenalfishing.com to support the show. Now let's get back to helping you catch more bass and suck less.
Hella Bass Live on a Friday night. What's going on, everybody? We are just going to hang out, talk some fishing, look at some tackle, do the things, answer questions, whatever you guys want to talk about, we're going to talk about tonight on Hella Bass Live. So cheers to everybody on a Friday night that's not fishing or doing all those things. What's up, Debo? So, I don't know, where do we start? Well, a few people roll on up in here. Tennessee Bassmaster, Dad Bod Angler. One of my favorite handles on YouTube is the Dad Bod Angler. Debo checking in. No life like me. Not fishing. At home. Playing on YouTube. What's up, Little Rich? Sounds good. Looks good, says Brian. Do some simulcast with the TikToks. I don't know if anybody's actually going to watch over there, but we'll try it. Darius, shouldn't you be out night fishing or something? It was Friday night too scary on the old Kentucky. So we have this. I guess the main feature, I have no idea what's in this box. I know it says Omnia on the outside, but it's not from Omnia. So, and I have no idea what's in that box. So we'll get to that in a minute. Sick kiddos, that's no fun. But I do got we looked at these briefly last week, these little morsels from Tacklecraft, the Hellcats. But I feel like we need to look at them again. There wasn't that many people getting their eyes on them. I'm pretty excited. I probably got some river derbs coming up next couple weeks, and I think I might have to throw me some of these little Big M balsa goodness. Painted up by old Tacklecraft. See if he'll make an appearance tonight. He is alive, I can confirm. I know some of us have been worried about him, but he is alive. I think this is probably the color that I'll be throwing in the fall. This kind of shad, chartreuse, a little bit of black back on the river. But the one that I really like is this one here. I think that's the old Coleman Craw from Tacklecraft there. Oh boy. Testing Big M's wares there, but I think that one is just spicy. Next spring. I think there's SB1s coming out again. I think I've caught quite a few fish on the SB1s. I think I probably got a double dip on those TKSD SB1s, Big M's. But yeah, the latest addiction from Tacklecraft there. So let's see. BBC said, spent an ungodly amount of money on a new clear and some paint today. Sad and happy. Ungodly amount at your age is different than ungodly amount when you get older, though. So just keep that in perspective, big guy. Tonight's Hella Bass Live presented by Arsenal Fishing and boosted, as always, by Powerhouse Lithium, which I have been upgrading the powerhouses in the Camus. I liked them so much, added some more. So pretty jazzed about that. Rusty, long time no chat. And we are doing a members-only after party. We're going to do a little Bassmaster watch and live. So if you guys that are members did not see that in your notifications, at about 9:30 Central, we are going to flip over and do the members-only thing. Hang out watch some old Bassmaster together watch party. So that'll be good. Do we just get into it? Should remind you that we are about halfway through the month. You can still use the Omnia code. OMHB23SEP. Save 15%. Arsenal code's always good. I did check. The HB10 code does work at Powerhouse Lithium if people haven't. I know old RJ said he was going to turn that off, but he didn't. So that's still working. Tom says, I'm on the lake. It's got almost a 2.5 pounder. Better than not catching them at all. Better, definitely the 35. 36 is a broomstick. That's a frog rod, flipping punching rod, bass assassin. I definitely would go for 3/8 and 1/2 ounce jig with the XP735. Most guys in Texas say that's their favorite jig rod. Yeah, reffing, umping. But those are in shortage, so you're doing God's work, Rusty. So this weekend, I might get out one morning for a little bit fishing. I got to get my 360 put back on my boat because it shorted out. So I need to pull back off the front panel so I can put in a fuse that I didn't put in last time. So if it ever does it again, it doesn't take out my pumps and everything. And then I got to reinstall the 360. Probably do that tomorrow morning. Not sure if I'm going to a birthday party or not, but I would say I'm going to go out for a couple hours and just test that. But I think I'm working Monday, Tuesday, then I'm going to go practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on the Mississippi River, Prairie du Chien, and then tournament Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday, the 23rd and 24th. So probably won't get out much this weekend, and then just dump the 360 and make sure everything's working, get it all calibrated, make sure everything's all lined up so that when I go pre-fishing for 3 days before the TBF national semifinals, is my hat on, my visor on crooked? It is. Debo, I should check the rules. Would you be interested in taking a day off work and coming hanging out in the boat? I was going to wait till I was 15 minutes from the ramp and then text you. But since you're here, I'll just throw that out. But I've never used the older Jason Christie rods. I had a really old Falcon, liked it just fine back in the day, but I've had one in a minute. So, bilge pump broken in the belt. That's not safe. That's 3 fish for a whopping 2. That's an average of 0.813. Colby, 14 months. Yeah, I got to look up in the rules, Debo, to make sure that it's legal for me to have somebody in my boat that's not in the tournament. If it is, I will let you know. And I'm thinking about running an Airbnb, so if you wanted to, if you need a nap before you drove home, because, you got to take naps because you're old and you can't drive very long, so, that could work out. Mm-hmm. Watts Bar is tough. I didn't look at the... Let's look at that. I forgot to look. I saw Panger had 8 pounds. Bobby Lane was leading. I have not looked today, though. I totally forgot about that. So, Colby, 14-month anniversary. Happy Friday. Cheers to everybody. The watch party is tonight in about 1 hour and 15 minutes, 9:30 Central. We're going to do an after party. I gotta see who's who's leading before I make a prediction on who's gonna win. I did not look at all today. Cheers, Brian. Anybody else enjoying a beverage? Soda pop beverage tonight? What are you having? Let me know in the chat. Well, it looks like Bobby Lane is not leading anymore. Let's present the old screen here. Jump over to Bassmaster. Make myself tiny here. Williams, 44 tackle, day 2 lead. Belgrade, Maine. That's interesting. Got himself a nice Smallmouth, little mixed bag here. So let's look at the leaderboard. Captain Diet Dr. I'm out of Dr. Diet Dr. Pepper, otherwise I'd be doing the Kraken in DTP. Yeah. So the Tennessee River is tough this time of year, and Watts Bar is extra. Vodka, soda, water, lime. That's been kind of my go-to cocktail when I'm traveling, Lauren, so I can feel you there. Dead boy. Looks like Brown Bates making some baits. All right, here. So we got... Ooh. Did Bobby Lane have a really... Oh, no, he's right there. So... That's going to put Bobby Lane in really good position with, you know, as long as he doesn't bomb at the Ozarks, he's going to be right in the mix when it goes to the last tournament of the year for making it back to the elite. So this is big that he made the top 10. JT Tompkins, he's leading the points, so he's almost certainly going to be leading the points again. Trey McKinney up there, so there's a lot of familiar names catching him. I think Lambert is, I don't think he's doing very well in the overall points. Brent Cannon was up there, so that's going to work for him. John Sukup having a good tournament, trying to get some momentum back after a bad elite series. Adam Rasmussen won the Wheeler event. He's from Minnesota, which he did really well on Wheeler, which is Tennessee River. Now he's doing well on Watts Bar, so maybe that's his jam. Let's see, Casey Scanlon, Chad Warren, that's a name I haven't heard in a minute. Charlie Hartley, Destin and Marion, former Leaf Series. Get some notifications here. Ooh, Panger, 58th. Not quite a check. So what it took to get the top 40, got a check. Logan Parks, 18-11. So 9 and 9.5 pounds a day got you paid. I don't know if there's any. I don't know. I haven't seen what's his YouTube and Mr. Milliken. Did I miss that one? Did I scroll by it already? Good old Lucas Bogosian, killing life. Got 5 fish over 2 days. Excuse me. Downaways, Hatton says. What's up, Hatton? Are you are you fishing the semis, Tony? Flash Butts, one of the best names in fishing. Brock Bielek, he's like a Nebraska, South Dakota guy. Must have missed it. So here, Control F, Mill, 83rd. Not completely a bomb, but that's definitely gonna leave the door open for some people to make their way into the top 10. Tuma was up there. Where'd he? So 57. He had a pretty good day one, fell off a little bit. One more keeper would have went a long ways. And that would have put him right on the check with one, you know, another, their 15-inch minimum, so a pound, pound and a quarter. You know, yeah. That would have given him right at 18 pounds or 19 pounds. He would have been right at the check. So, yeah. Milliken's 14th in AOI, so now he has to make up some ground. I don't know, did Maddie fish this one? I think he's in Hawaii. Yeah, he didn't fish this one. There you go, Toyotas. There you go. Good luck down there. Lake of the Ozarks should be fun. Oh, Shaw 22nd, Panger 41st. Bobby's up to 21st in AOI. You can make up a few more points tomorrow. He can't really lose much tomorrow. I think he was in 5th or 6th there. So, you know, he, you know, puts a top 50 on the board at Ozarks, and then top 10's Harris Chain. Is that where they're going? That should put him right there. So, what do you think will win the, is that Ozark tournament? Yeah. That's tough. I mean, 225 guys. I don't really, you know, and I don't know the locals that are not getting in, so that's really tough to say. Yeah. But I don't really have the open field memorized, nor all the locals that'll get in that event. But you know, might be a plopper topwater type event. No, it's next weekend, Rusty. So I'm going to be going down to Prefish Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then September 23rd, 24th on Prairie du Chien is my tournament. Any guesses what's in the box? Sounds like a fair amount of packing material in there. 2024 Castledine Classic, he wins. Does he fish in all three of the centrals? Lake Conway. Don't know what Lake Conway is. Jerkbaits. Glida. Scanlon should definitely have a good tournament. He's very strong in the Ozarks for sure. All right. But all right, so things are shaping up. Do they do the AOI standings? Conway is near to Caro. Oh, being drained for repairs. Interesting. Had not heard that. Well, that could be good. If it's down, it gives you that new lake effect. Usually when lakes come back, I think Cumberland had to be drained away back to work on the dam. And that's been a really good fishery. So, you know, it's going to suck short term, but long term, that's probably going to be pretty good. Looks like the points are updated live here, I think, for the open EQs. I think they're going to be on FS1 tomorrow too. The
Are you ready to re-
No, we are not yet ready for that. So JT Tompkins still in lead. Kenta, who's already in. John Carrot's basically in second. So this will go down to 10. So Brent Cannon is basically the last guy in. Nania, Jamie Bruce, the Canadian, Matt Henry, Keith Tuma, Robert Gee. These are your. But so Jacob Bigelow tied with Brent Cannon for the last spot to get in right now. Milliken at 14. So Milliken's 20 points back. Logan Park in the mix. Sam George. There's Bobby, 21st. So 979 to 913. So that's 66 points in two tournaments. High Rock. Isn't that where Fritz won his classic, High Rock? Does that sound right? All right, it's almost time to open this box. We got a quick word from the old dream team. Then we're gonna see what's inside the box because I have no idea.
Next home purchase or refinance? Supreme Lending's Dream Team can help guide you through the entire mortgage process, from pre-qualification to closing. We have a wide variety of home loan programs in our tackle box, including down payment assistance and first-time homebuyer options. You can ask Hella Bass. He trusted us to help finance his home. Contact the Dream Team today by searching Supreme Lending Dream Team or click the link below in the description or scan the QR code on your screen.
Right on, right on. Actually, my buddy Aaron actually texted me about going to fish Mille Lacs. So, Kershaw and Brower won on High Rocks. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that'd be funny. So 7 a.m. on FS1. What did you get, Rich 17, at Omnia? Anything good? Been kind of good. I haven't ordered in a minute. Gee fan, what's up, my brother? That's a good reminder. You can always hit the like button. Just tap it gently. We don't need to smash or break anything. All right. Brian says open it, open it, open it. All right. So we will open it. I might try to watch some of that FS1. Maybe I'll put in the Mega 360 mic on. It's from Brian Kasperzak, but I feel like that was just like a pit stop, but I'm not sure. Actually, I might have to put this Arsenal Series in my boat because in the last tournament up on Alexander, I was goofing around on the front deck and I dropped my Battle Braid Scissors in the water, too deep to worry about it during a tournament. Still got my Covert Scissors in the boat, but I kind of miss my Battle Braid. All right. Anticipation. Make sure I didn't miss anything here in the chat here. Cool. We got some bubble wrap. Let's see here. Okay, but we have some undisclosed things in pink bubble wrap here. So the first thing we have is a Kira Frog, Jackal Frog. So I'm guessing this is from Brian in the red color. It's a cute little guy. I feel like it's a little smaller than I would normally throw. I've never thrown this. Does this hold up to like, you know, the hook set I just put down in the guy's neck, you know, with 65-pound braid and a heavy rod? Will these hooks hold up to that? That'd be my question. Debo, do you know? How good are the hooks on the Kara Frogs? I think Milliken definitely still has a shot. He's only 20 points out. He needs to, I think, two top 40s, Milliken would be in, so I wouldn't count him out yet. BBC's back. I think Bobby is trending the right way. He is definitely going to give, as long as he doesn't have a real bad tournament at Ozarks, he's going to be in position to make a charge at Harris. No Berkeley dime yet. Frogs. Pretty light wire. Softer, heavy rod. I've heard much about this, but I have jumped right out of the package. This is a little guy. I feel like I'd have to throw this in like a 734. I don't see myself throwing this on a 735. Great little pond frog. Little guy. It's a cute little guy. If you can tell. All right. And then another one. So this one is called Red Frog. Very imaginative name. This one is Black Gill, which also looks pretty cool. Did I get the new Mustad hooks yet? No. Was I looking at those at from iCast? Are they out? I haven't seen them. I like the color of this one. It's kind of black, purple, and blue. It's a cute little guy. I like the color of that one. So like the hook seemed to, I feel like that weight definitely cuts into the gap a little bit. I'll have to try them. Little guys. Little wheel guys. Deavers. What do we have here? This appears to be a Brown Bait Custom. Nice original packaging. I like the reusability on this packaging. A little BBC. It's got a little signature on there. So we've got a silent three hook walking bait and kind of a almost like a bonish wood grain. Interesting. Very cool. A little kind of a subtle shad spot there. Just a like a hint of color on the chin there, almost like a is that a little bit of chartreuse slash orange right on the chin there? Very faint. Kind of a natural baitfish color. Thank you. Might have to throw this because topwater season will be in effect. Is this like a one of one? How many of these are in existence? Brendan, what else we got here? Looks like a potentially a rearrange. Little gold orange pearl. This bubble wrap is sealed. We're re-entering with the battle braid here. A one of one. Can you recreate it if it's the best topwater ever? Like if I go up and just smash them, can it be recreated? Is it hand carved? Is there a template? Is there like a scan? What do we know about this? That's kind of cool. This looks like a is that a regular MR? That's an MR. The rearrange MR looks like in kind of a like a custom. Kind of gives me crappie vibes. Kind of gives me, like a baby northern maybe? Baby pike? Two of two? Two, two? Is that some of TK's work maybe? Does look like a little pike. All right, can be made more. I have not seen the Maverick in person. This is a custom that is not original Jackal paintwork. All right, it's called Payback. It's a baby northern pike from TK. That's really cool. Thank you guys so much. That'll definitely get thrown. Although... there it went. Sometimes these jackals, they stick, but when you cast them, like they do work. So, very nice. Sexy. Lots of sexy, fun stuff. But wait, there's more! We got a BBC XL t-shirt here from Brown Bait Company. This is kind of like the mailbag. It's like kind of a blue. The Brown Bait Company established 2021. It's a cool shirt, Brendan. Feels like a decent quality cotton shirt, I believe made by the Print Craft, if I'm not mistaken. I will be brutally honest, Brendan. Don't you worry. I think that's just packing material down there. Well, thanks a lot, guys. That's super awesome. I definitely put some hooks. What size hooks would you recommend? Have you thrown them? Did you throw it at all? Did you put any hooks on it? Like, did you test the lock, or am I like doing like the very first and only test of this? South Jersey. All right. We're going to shut this down because nobody's watching this. Yes, test it with hooks. I think I used fives or sixes.
Okay.
Yeah, where's my thank you note, guys? I'm used to getting thank you notes. We'll see. I'll maybe be able to test that here. If nothing else, maybe I could throw some hooks on it and just go throw it in the neighborhood pond and just see how it walks. Won't get bit. Although there might be a couple bass in there. I can maybe neither confirm nor not confirm that. People can put their own baits on, hooks on. All right, that was it. It was in the box. Kind of excited about that. A little baby pike. That'd be a good lake jerk bait. No jerky either. No jerky, guys. Come on. Good points. Did he change his name? South Jersey Bait Reviews. I didn't even pick up on that, Gee fan. That is way easier to remember than South Jersey Fisherman 96174 38.7C. So, I like it. I still would have put spaces in it. I wouldn't have all put it together like that, but. So if you guys want some of Brendan's handiwork, I believe you just slide into his DMs on the IG, the Instagram at Brown Bait Co. And he can make you some custom creations. Says like that. Thanks, Brian and Brendan, for your collaborative box. Much appreciated. Give it, test them out. I just got a DM from Gator's Adventures, and he just bought an XP735 Dobbins. He's going to test it out tomorrow. He just speaking of sliding into people's DMs. Yeah, where's TK? He must got that boy on a short leash, making him watch the Kardashians every night this week. So that was within the box. Now what are we going to talk about? So I got tournaments coming up next couple weeks. Got the TBF semis. So my last chance to make a national tournament is there. And then a couple weeks after that, we got the last team event of the TBF team trail. We are second in points by one single point. So basically, if we win, pretty sure we win the points. So we're going down to Winona, Michael and I. Couple river derbs with things on the line. Hopefully throwing a whole lot of walking baits and poppers and moving baits and power fishing on the river for smallies and largies. What did you get for a new boat? Tell us more. Nate M., I do not think anybody, I don't think the tour level or any significant money organization is banning front-facing sonar anytime soon or ever. But that's my opinion. Aaron, I've not looked at the Toyota Series schedules yet. But we could go look them up. We have the power of the internet. Let's see here. He got the new design and new hull of a 2023 Nitro Z21XL. Congratulations. That sounds like a sweet arse ride. I got to tell. So, in the thumbnail, I put the box on my steps. But my wife wants to know the truth. She wants me to share the truth. She said that box was wedged into our mailbox. Like, this is a pretty good sized box. Like, our mailbox is not this big. It was forcefully put in there. She said it took her several minutes to dislodge it from our mailbox. And she wants to know that there was a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and other things that went to get in that box out of the mailbox. And she just wants to know that that make that perfectly clear and perfectly well known. And she is the true hero of this stream tonight. So there was a lot of work to getting in that box by a lot of people. See, I think limiting transducers and the total inches of screen is maybe the answer. That's what I would recommend, but we'll see. Nope. 90 Day Fiance. I might just bop out by the house because I'm going to probably go down to Prairie du Chien for 5 straight days starting Wednesday. So I might stick close to home. Might take in a Loons game with my daughter tomorrow night. You can definitely highlight somebody's name. That's definitely in good taste. There's nothing wrong with highlighting somebody's name if you want to do that. It's not automatic. You have to actually spell their name exactly right or put the at in front of it, and then it will highlight their name. All right. I want to make sure we got that schedule events, view all. Let's see, schedule 2024. So we'll start with the central. I'll let her know there was lots of praise for her efforts. If she's not watching, sometimes she likes to sneak in and watch. And then she lurks, rarely says anything. All right, so central Toyota schedule. Lake Gunnersville in February. That should be like a jerkbait trap, flat-sided crank around the grass. Pretty good heavyweight tournament, maybe an A-rig. Then you got Smith Lake in Alabama. Early April, I bet you that's kind of spawn-centric there. Largemouth will probably play, but spots will also be very, you know, I think you'll see be mostly spots, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was one with largemouth. And then Lake Chickamauga, early May, that should be beginning of ledge season. But Chickamauga is weird. There's kind of like, there's late spawners there. They keep that water down until it comes up. They don't really go. So like John Cox almost certainly is going to be jackpotting this. You know what? You guys tell me when I'm not sharing the screen. Come on, people. Is Brandon being inappropriate again? That's inappropriate. Please. All right. So then we can look at the Northern Potomac, Champlain. So you got two New York events. So we start at the Potomac in June. It should be like a chatterbait frog fest. Then Champlain in June, which will be a smallmouth, what's the traffic cone called? Flogger event. And then late summer, St. Lawrence River. That'll be, you know, out of Messina, that's a big run to the mouth of the lake. So the river is definitely going to play more. So there will be some front-facing sonar, but you also see a lot of people doing, like, the drift fishing there as well. But if you're a New York person, that's a very tempting schedule. The North can go to the other lakes, but if they get the numbers, then they're not going to go to other lakes. Plains Division, Kentucky, Grand Ozarks. So Kentucky in March, that's an interesting time to go to Kentucky. They don't typically go there that time of year. That's going to be a smallmouth fest. Probably pre-spawn, though, I think. Maybe early spawn, late pre-spawn, early spawn. Grand Lake, just after the Classic. And then Lake of the Ozarks in September. Pretty attractive division for somebody that lives in my area. It's not a ton of driving. It's a decent amount of driving. Hatton, are you fishing the Central Toyotas again next year? What do you think of the schedule? Fuck. And then we've got the, but there's a lot of divisions. Southern, Okeechobee, Harris Chain, Santee Cooper, very friendly to the southeast. Santee Cooper in September. All right. Southwestern, Rayburn, Toledo Bend, Eufaula, Oklahoma. Those should be some good derbs. Good times of the year. That one's compact. They're going to get the whole schedule in pretty quick there. Then you got the Western presented by Tackle Warehouse. Clear Lake in March, Havasu in May, California Delta in June. Also a very compact schedule. And the championship will be in Wheeler Lake in November. So you're going to mix in the Central and the Plains. Frank's not having a good day. There's always tomorrow, Frank. There's always tomorrow. I've never been on Chickamauga. I guess we could look at the BPT schedule over here. We haven't really talked about that. They don't even have it displayed. That's hilarious. So we've got to go to the... All right. So you got Toledo Bend. So they're starting in Texas as well. That's early. That's definitely pre-spawn. That's late winter pre-spawn, Toledo Bend. Should be a big weight tournament there. Then you got Santee Cooper, also probably pre-spawn. So that's a little earlier than a lot of the events we see on Santee Cooper. That could be interesting. Then they got the Red Crest at Lay Lake. So Beeswax Creek, like Dale Hollow. I like that. They've had BFLs and Toyotas and stuff at Dale Hollow. This should be an interesting event to watch. Hopefully it's early enough in the year where it's not completely dominated by front-facing sonar. Then you follow Oklahoma. Though we've kind of seen, I think they went there last year. Or is that just the Tackle Warehouse Invitationals? That was the Invitationals. So everybody's going to Eufaula, Oklahoma. It's like the trendy place to go now. And then Kissimmee in May. That should be a fun event, being there in the summer. Most people say that Florida actually fishes better in the summer than it does when they go there in the springtime. Then the Shoshone River, which I think somebody said that, Rusty says, we could see a dirty 30 on the Shoshone, especially if they run to the Roanoke. So kudos to them. Brand new stop. June. Should be fun. About the same time that the Toyotas are at the Potomac. And then the James. So we back it up with another tile fishery. And then one smallmouth stop up north. So I don't know if you noticed this, but both tours limiting the number of smallmouth events and reducing them this year. And I think that's kind of fan-driven. I'm guessing that is due to ratings and viewership going down on smallmouth front-facing sonar extravaganzas. It's the other Eufaula. This is Oklahoma Eufaula, not Alabama Eufaula, Tim. All right, so now we've touched on the schedules. We talked about the elite schedule last week, right? Didn't we? With Tilo? Pretty sure I did. Roanoke is just south of the Chowan, but it's across a sound that can get brutally rough if it's windy. Which, though, Rusty, I would assume they're going to do the trailering rule. That's what they do in all the Great Lakes. So if they have a trailering rule like BPT normally does, then that's going to be a non-issue. Mm. What other, anything else that we want to talk about tonight? All the MLF and Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing winners should be notified. All the Super K gift cards went out. I think there's one year-end Bassmaster winner that I haven't heard back from for Drain the Lake, potentially. Still for their ChattyBoys.com prize. I have not talked to Gary about a XP refresh, but I have been thinking about reaching out to him to have him lined back up in the future. Yeah, but then, yeah, I guess if they have a short list of chambers that already have money kind of in line, then it'd be interesting to get the members' polls. But, yeah. Do I think KVD will come out of retirement in the next 5 years? That's a great question. I'm not sure. I mean, he's definitely fishing heavy hitters and Red Crest next year. But after that, it's hard to say. I don't know. I guess we'll see. It doesn't do much good to speculate. That's the tricky thing with limiting transducers. That will be a tricky rule to write, to make it enforceable and to make it consistent. You know, is a 360 a front-facing sonar? Is a front-facing sonar shooting towards the bottom or shooting off the side of your jack plate a front-facing sonar? Like, I don't know. I think they'd have to limit the total number of transducers in a boat, maybe. But that's going to be tricky. And then people are probably just going to, like, do the bare minimum on their 2Ds and limit other ones so they can do more. I mean, is it really a problem if a person puts live side shooting transducers, if he's going to get rid of their like traditional scan, side scan? I don't know. To me, I think the easier thing is just to put a cap of around 50 inches of total screens. Maybe it's like limit the number of transducers off your trolling motor. Yeah, but defining front facing can be, and then if a new technology comes out, that's the thing, is like you're trying to like chase down something you don't know where the technology is going. KVD would be eligible for a legend exemption, but he would have to be interested in taking it, and Bassmaster would have to be interested in offering it. So I think for the most part, they should be able to do what they want and use what they want. But I do think at some point there should be a cap on the amount of electronics. I don't think we should limit any type, but I think total, like, you know, I think there was something in somebody's that, but like bass boats are already like, you know, a fully rigged tournament boat is right around $100,000 for a, you know, BPT Elite Series person. And I think, do you really need more than 4 12-inch graphs on a boat? Honestly, like, I think to cap that and kind of like ripple back through the boating a little bit to kind of like stabilize boat prices, I think capping the total inches of screen makes sense to me. So that's just my take. No, I was not at those casinos, but I did hear a lot of people complaining about those casinos. Better late than never, Michael Bradley. Yeah, I don't think they're getting rid of front facing in tournaments. Don't see it. I don't know. See, that's the thing, Travis, is like, you know, would you, you know, some guys might prefer to have 3 16-inch screens. Some guys might prefer to have 4 12-inch screens. Some guys might prefer to have 5 10-inch. But then cost-wise, right, that total inches of screen is kind of capped. Whereas, like, we're getting to the point now where there's guys with, like, literally, like, 5 16-inch screens on their boat. Maybe more. Like, that's just getting to be crazy. In my opinion, like, I have 3 10s and a 12. Kind of wish I had 2 10s and 2 12s, but 4 12s is like, you know, 2 and 2 or 1 12 and then 3 12s up front, or a 16 on the dash and, you know, 2 10s and a 12 up front. Like, that is plenty to work with. Yeah, there's too much money in electronics. And if they did make the silly decision to ban front-facing sonar on the top level of the sport, then Garmin and Active Target and Humminbird, they're going to shift their dollars, and it'll go to the crappie tours. It'll go to the guides that use front-facing sonar. It'll go to the content creators that are using front-facing, because they're going to keep selling them. So that's not leaving. Right. So, I mean, like Darius, right? You got a 16 and 212, so you've got 40 inches of screen. Add another 10 on that. Like, why would anybody really need more than that? Didn't stop you from putting them on your boat, though, did it, David? John Cox is an outlier. He's a freak. And if they banned front-facing sonar, nobody would watch Randy Blockett anymore. So that's the, your act. See, that's where I wish I had one more 12. I wish my Garmin front-facing was a 12 instead of a 10. I have not. I've seen the NTB screens, like, at a distance or at boat shows. I've never played with them. Never been in a boat that has one. And that's fine. If somebody wants to expand those screens to have one 20-inch screen up front, that's fine. But then they are limited to how much more they can use in the rest of the boat. I mean, we might see guys put three giant screens out front and then just have, like, a little tiny, you know, a little 5-inch mapping screen on the dash. I don't know. And at least it would be some creativity versus everybody just running five or six gigantic screens. And then actually some of these boat videos would be interesting, because they actually would, like, they could rig them in creative ways and talk about how they would do things. And, you know, maybe they would actually swap things out, right? Like, hey, I'm gonna swap this out, and I'm gonna run my 360 for this event, or I'm actually taking the front facing sonar off this event because I'm actually, you know, this is more important. Yeah, NTB is like an aftermarket. NBT has an aftermarket screen that hooks into your screen and reprojects it on a bigger screen. So, that's funny, Anthony. Just catching up on chat here. But honestly, so actually this past weekend I went out and I spent 4 or 5 hours on the lake during the Vikings game. It was beautiful. It was like the only one out there. It was amazing. And I spent time getting reps with the Garmin. And spent a lot of time looking around. I actually spent some time sniping some crappies with a little crappie jig, just kind of get those reps in. You know, if you can throw a little 16-ounce crappie jig with a little boot tail, and you can track that on your graph, it's pretty easy when you go to a bigger bait. And then I finally got around where I could see some stuff move around in the grass, and I caught a 5-pounder on a drop shot. And then I caught like a 3.5 on a chicken jig. It was interesting because I could kind of see the sunfish and I could see those bigger blobs moving around in the grass. And I couldn't get them to go on the drop shot of the Nikko. And then I slow rolled that big chicken jig over it and they came right up out of the grass and smoked it. But then when I threw back in there, like the first time I threw in there, I felt one bump it. And I kept it going and bumped it again. And then, like, the third one locked it up. And then I caught, like, a 4-pounder on a Nikko rig that slid off by himself. And this was, like, it took a while. It took me, like, this probably all happened in, like, 20, 30 minutes. So it was, like, kind of like cat and mouse in the game, in the grass with these fish. And I threw the chicken jig back over that. They had, like, regrouped up on the grass. And one smoked it. It was, like, a 4-pounder. And then I think I caught one more on the drop shot. That was kind of floated out again like the other one. It kind of went out and went rogue away from the group, and I saw him off on a bare spot, and I caught, and that was like a 2.75. So I had like 5 for like 19.25. Could not get another 4-pounder to get there, 3.5, 4-pounder to get to that 20-pound mark. But it was a fun little afternoon, little sesh. It's a different game. Trying to catch a largemouth or find and catch a largemouth around the grass and using front facing than it is like on Alexander and the smallmouth lake. They were, you know, out roaming around. You could see them much easier. Not fishing the throwback swim bait tournaments. I just don't have time with being gone all next week. It just doesn't make sense. So you're saying the Helix 15 was hard on your lithium. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It's not exactly, I mean, it's probably 1.5 hours from my house. It's not like it's just down the road. Have some other obligations. Gotta, you know, do I go to the swim bait tournament or do I focus on the tournament where I can qualify for the TBF National Championship? I prioritize the tournament that I can make the TBF National Championship. The swim bait tournament would be fun. It doesn't fit into the life balance of all the things I have to do. All right, we've got about 20-25 minutes left here, and then we're going to have a little intermission before the members live. We're going to do a little watch party at 9:30 Central Time tonight. I see lots of members lurking around tonight, so that's cool. What other questions you guys got that we did not cover? Could have won all sorts of prizes for showing up. I am not aware, Travis, of anywhere where they publicly share the viewership numbers for the attorneys. Now, based on the Bilge podcast, they said there was some angler outreach from the Bassmaster staff to certain anglers to get their opinions on front-facing sonar. So they are talking about it. To me, the biggest thing they can do is schedule to limit front-facing sonar. So if you look at all the polls that I've done, other people have done, for the most part, the majority of people don't dislike front-facing sonars. They dislike the way that tournaments currently cover events dominated by front-facing. They don't like watching them in their current. So the first thing BBT and Bassmaster need to do is come up with better ways to cover the tournaments if they're going to be dominated with front-facing sonar, whether it's showing more screens, picture-in-picture, better camera angles, doing other things, la-da-da-da. They got to come up with better ways to cover them, give the viewers more interesting things to watch. Then, schedule-wise, which is a little tricky because they plan out schedules multiple years in advance. But they need to interject more river tournaments, times of the year where front-facing sonar will not dominate as much. So scheduling can be a powerful tool to limit and put a cap on front-facing sonar. I mean, it can play anywhere, but you obviously know that, like, you know, Champlain, it was like literally if you weren't doing it, you weren't in the top 50. Whereas, yes, Okeechobee was one on it, but most of the rest of the top 10 were not using it, right? And then the third thing is, I think capping the total screen or just putting some kind of like limiter, you know, it's like there's a reason we don't use baseball bats that are as big around. We don't use, you know, bowling balls the size of beach balls. There's limits on goalie pads, right? Like, you know, do we want to get to the point where we're running 26-foot saltwater boats with, you know, 174 inches of electronics, right? Like, at some point, it does make sense to limit some of the tech and put some specs around it. That's kind of a normal evolution of a sport. Yeah, Brendan doesn't know, but he's too young to know life balance. Sabine was a good. There was a high catch rate. It was tight. It was interesting. You know, even in one of my polls, a lot of people said they would rather watch a Sabine grinder than watch a smallmouth front-facing event. All right. Chris Rust, a missed alert. Fishing a tournament tomorrow. Small man mid-lake, low visibility, and some flooded timber. Mid-temp, 70s temps. What are three baits you'd have tied on? I assume there's shad there. I think I would have a hard time not having a bladed jig on. We do not have a lot of these types of lakes. And then I would say, you know, a jig or a Texas rig, depending on what your confidence is or what you feel is better. Chris, do you have Dizzle as your avatar? That's creepy. Did you lose a bet? Third bait. Probably a finesse bait. Drop shot, Ned rig. Probably Nico if it's a lot of timber. You know, a finesse rod of your choice. So, bladed jig to cover water. Texas rig slash jig for, you know, power fishing around it. And then a finesse rod. Rusty says, frog, jig, and swim bait. No shad, bluegill, and crappie. All right, well, then just adjust your... I still think those are all good baits, and I would just go more, you know, bluegill slash crappie pattern on my chatterbait and less white and chartreuse. It's not the NFL top toad, but the better the viewing experience we have, the more viewership, the more numbers, right? So, but I think the thing is, like, I think they're seeing a drop-off on events that are smallmouth front-facing sonar dominated. So even though the viewership's not already not massive, when it drops off significantly, then that is expensive for them. You know, if there was only a channel that did videos and alerts to make sure you didn't miss your lineup, somebody should do that, Michael. Did not order any panoramas from Sixth Sense. I throw the Minnesota rig in Minnesota at times, which is a one-hooked rig. I might throw a little bit on the river this fall. Yeah, I think a buzzbait or a walking bait in the morning is good. Yeah, bladed jig later. That for sure. That makes sense. We did really well throwing the Minnesota rig for smallies in October last year. I've dabbled with the chicken jig. Or are you talking about the chicken rig? Oh, chicken rig. So you're talking about like the little, like the Texas rig, Nico chicken rig. I mean, I will throw a Nico rig at times. If you're talking about the chicken jig, I have thrown it in tournaments, but I've never caught a fish in a tournament. But I've had some, haven't caught a ton of fish on the chicken jig, but the three or four that I've caught have been very good in size. Yeah. But I'm building confidence in it and getting a better understanding of when and how to use it. So I'm more equipped to use it in the future in tournaments. I've thrown the new Vixen a little bit. Seems solid. Still small sample size. It seems to pass the sniff test for me. Seems like a good bait. Did Vikings playoffs, not playoffs? Probably not playoffs at this point. We didn't do anything to address the offensive line. That's a problem. Yeah, sorry for not going on Wednesday. Sorry, Kyle. We didn't go on Wednesday. Anthony says he punches up north with a chicken rig. We're going to pretend I didn't even see that bass assassin. Boy, you guys are having some nerdy bait talk. I mean, they can still rally, but there's definitely some flaws. So they got to right the ship here pretty quick. I know, I think once you hit 0-3, your chance of making the playoffs goes down to a very small, small, small percentage. But I don't really watch the Vikes until the water freezes, if I'm being honest. I think it's mostly the sound difference. I think the Gen 2 Vixens, action-wise, are not that much different than the ones or the threes. I think it's mostly sound. There could be some ever so slight action differences, but I believe it's more sound-driven. Why do companies advertise all these baits at ICAST and then make them unavailable until October, November? I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me either, Rusty. Kyle, it's a combination. It's not just the front-facing sonar. There was already, you know, when bass would go up north for two or three events and they're smallie fishing, there was already a fairly significant amount of disdain by a certain amount of the population. I definitely see some of the comments on my social media and YouTube videos that people in Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and places like that do not relate to watching people throwing Ned rigs and hair jigs on 6-pound line for smallmouth. So that, you know, if they see it once, they're probably okay with it. But by the second or third event, they are completely over it. And then when you now compound that with front-facing sonar where people aren't even casting and you have four guys on the screen all staring at their screens and nobody's casting on live, that just compounded it. So it was already an issue to some degree. And front-facing sonar is making it worse, I think. And the fact that, like, this year we had three smallmouth northeast tournaments, which is a third of the schedule. And if you look at the demographics of Bassmaster, that's probably over representative. So I don't know, 70-80% of Bassmaster's membership is probably in the southeast. So to have a third of the tournaments in the north northeast probably isn't the right move. I could totally take block it in a frog tournament. 100%. But why don't they ship them during the show so that they hit the shelves the week after? So Backlash Pro. Also, right up there with Dadbot Angler, Backlash Pro is one of my favorite screen names. I mean, there were probably more people that would relate to a night tournament than the wood northern smallmouth tournaments. Ooh, Popeye's chicken sandwich. Do they have Popeye's in Canada? That seems illegal. Blockett versus Rick Clinton arm wrestle. I think Blockett keeps in pretty good shape. So I think Blockett now could take Rick Clinton. Back in the day, yeah, about that. Clinton probably got that old man strength, but I think Blockett's probably got him right now. You know, Blockett's got to carry around all those kids he's got, so. But, like, you said that'd be fun to watch. Are you talking about Blockett versus me in a frog tournament, or are you talking about a night tournament? I bet you a lot of guys would think a night tournament would be cool one time, but if you did three of them in a row, people would get bored with it real quick. Spinnerbait arm. Oh, Noodles and Company. You see, are you like a mac and cheese Noodles and Company kind of guy, or do you get like the Korean stuff, or what's your choice, Brian? Plus, Randy would be probably trying to throw that mega bass big gibbo, and I'd smoke him with a spro. Randy's forearms are juiced from clapping back to all the haters on his social media platforms. Oh, Brown Bake Company making special brownies. That's what he's doing with all that late night extracurricular cash. He's reinvesting in his brownies. They do not have a maple syrup chicken at the Canadian Pop. That's disgusting. Shut it down. Oh, that was Kyle mocking Frank. Never mind. I thought that was Frank typing. Nice. Yeah, you nailed it, Rich. BBC THC. It's a thing. Absolutely true, Bass Assassin. Randy knows exactly what he's doing. Where are my brownies? Brian, did you eat my brownies that Brendan sent? There wasn't any brownies in the box if you sent some, Brendan. Where are my brownies? Why am I not fishing the City Auto Glass Deal in Mille Lacs? Oh, that's a good question. Because I don't fish Mille Lacs that much, and something about measure tournaments, team tournaments, kind of weirded me out. Fishing for big money, if I'm being honest. And it's just only so many derbs I can fit in with all the other things I got going on. Got a daughter playing JV and varsity high school soccer. Other kids doing volleyball, hockey, all kinds of things. I knew it. That would explain why Brendan's so chill and he laughs all the time. It's exactly what a person that eats special brownies would say. Oh, are you fishing the... that's another tournament I'm missing. So the next weekend is the Battle of the Bass Heads. It almost always falls on the TBF semis. Cass Lake has good quality bass, but they're not everywhere. You can spend a lot of time fishing really good looking water on Cass for bass and not get bit. But when you find them, they tend to be big. So it can be a frustrating yet rewarding lake. It'll be interesting to see how it fishes with 50 boats. Could get a little crowded in places. Hope you get a good boat draw, Conrad. Well, then you should go fishing, Steve. No reason to be watching college football then. Well, good luck, Lauren. Hope you have fun at Cass Lake. Careful, Brennan. Words of advice from Anthony. Last time I had an edible, ended up in the tub half naked with Taco Bell. It was a good night. I mean, any night that ends with Taco Bell in a tub is a good night. Sounds like your pre-fishing went okay, Dave Sindrich, for the swim bait tournament tomorrow. Boat number 6, use it wisely. Use it wisely. So we know that Brendan is a male dancing, THC brownie cooking mole, is what we know. 3 things you're known for. I think it was just in the bathtub, not at Taco Bell. Serious question from Don G. What test fluorocarbon to use on chatterbaits? Actually, I've been throwing my chatterbaits mostly on 15-pound big game this year. But in the past, I usually threw it on 16 to 17-pound fluoro. What does TD stand for in TD Minnow, and why doesn't Omnia carry them? Is that the Iowa or the Daiwa TD Minnow? I'm not sure. South Jersey Bait Reviews, please answer Critical Gravy's question. When I throw the Minnesota rig, I typically throw that on 20-pound fluoro. Oh, the TD is Team Daiwa. Oh, boy. Please do. I had another member reach out to me about some unsatisfaction of Omnia, and I got it resolved for them. So. All right, we got about 2-3 minutes here, and then I need a quick break so I can get set up here. If you're not a member and you want to see what the live watch party is all about, you can join us. It'll be fun. It should try to auto-direct you there. I don't know how that's going to work to a member, but should be interesting. But I'll put a link in here for those interesting. If we're going to have a bio break, I'll put a link in the chat for those that are interested in trying to join us, but we'll have a members only watch party. Yeah, I noticed that. But keep testing it, Little Rich. Sometimes they'll stop and start codes on certain things. Have a good evening, Anthony. Thanks for joining. No, they stopped carrying a bait you really like. I don't know. Heavy line, because I guess I throw 20-pound. You definitely could throw 20-pound big game. I think when the fish rushes in on a rig, I think having some stretch from mono or fluoro can be good. I think you can straighten hooks and there's not any give in an A rig, so having a little give in your line can be good. So I think you could go heavy mono, heavy fluoro, but that's my preference. Anthony's all fired up. All right. We're going to wrap this up right now and take my bio break and be back in 5 minutes for the member live. If you came in late, enjoy the replay. Search Hell Bass on your favorite podcast app, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you like the replay. you know, do all the things with the comments and the likes and all the stuff. And then, yeah, as always, here to help you guys catch more big bass and suck less.
As always, thanks to all of you that hung in till the end of this podcast. This has been another episode of Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast Experience. Please consider sharing this with any of your bassin' buddies and friends. This is the best way for podcasts to grow is through word of mouth. Also, don't forget to search Hellebass on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or just about anywhere else so that we can connect in more ways. As always, here to help you catch more bass and suck less.